Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, praise the Lord. Once again, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be with each and every one of you. You know, you may get tired of hearing me say that, but I'm always in awe that I have this venue to speak of God's love and His mercy, to be able to bring you guests that are expertise in things that are pertinent to the church today, to be able to pray with you every Friday during our day of healing prayer. Praying and teaching from the catechisms on Thursdays. It's a very varied programming. But on Tuesdays, I'm blessed just to be able to, as they say, shoot from the hip. Just come in turn on the gospel and maybe break that down and expound on it a little bit. Matter of fact, I just had a call from a woman in Missouri. And my assistant, Maureen, came in and said, there's a woman on the phone and you had prayed with her in Missouri and she wants to talk to you. And she said, is Sister Kathleen there? And I was like, Sister Kathleen? But I think she was more using it as an endearing term, okay, sister. And so she's going to call in today. She apparently had a beautiful experience of the Lord laying His hands on her and removing her from discomfort and pain and something that had been bothering her for quite a while. So at one point she will be calling in. And in the meantime, I wanted to share with you today the scripture. And today it's from Matthew 23 verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. And they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the people's shoulders. But they themselves will not move one finger to help them. They do all their deeds to be seen by men. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the places of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogue. And salutations in the marketplace and they loved being called rabbi by the people. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have but one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, it seems rather harsh, that gospel reading. Of course, it was to the scribes and the Pharisees. And when he said they sit in Moses' seat, he was more or less saying that they were the ones that would give instruction. They were the ones that were called to teach because they sat in Moses' seat. And they carried out the law. And yet, he tells us very clearly, even to this generation today, to practice and observe what they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. Each one of us, you know, have experienced the feeling of doing a good job, having, you know, I mean, it can be as simple as having a new car, or, you know, a really great outfit that you put together, and you want, you know, you would like somebody to acknowledge, that's pretty, and boy, you look great in that outfit, and that's a beautiful car you got, or you know, and in a whole other way, you can also look and see that you're great to teach others to live a certain way. But do we live that way ourselves? And this is really the meat of it. It's not about calling no man teacher, call no one father. You have one teacher, you have one father, and that's in heaven. And for sure, that's true. Our Father in heaven, the scriptures tell us, every family on earth gets its name from God our Father and John. So for sure, we know we have one Father who is the, you know, the creator of all. But we also know that the word Father is used, Daddy, Father, it's used throughout the scriptures. So he's not so much talking about calling them the title. It's to look to them as being the end and know-all of everything. Because many people will tell us, lay a heavy burden on us, even down to this generation. And sometimes it's hard to bear. But we're told to obey and listen to what they preach, but don't do as they do, because they don't practice it themselves. I'll just give you a little example. Many years ago, I remember giving a talk, I'll say maybe 38, 40 years ago. And I remember being somewhere and giving a talk. And I was telling the people, you know, you should at least say one rosary a day. And we were talking about things we can do to encourage us on our way, build us up spiritually. And that was one of the things that I was instructing the people to do. And, you know, afterwards, after the day was over, I was reflecting on myself as I went to bed that night and examining my own conscience. And very clearly those words echoed about telling the people at least one rosary a day. What a powerful weapon it was. And I believe that. I absolutely believed it with all my heart. And then when I heard those words again, I was like, why is the Lord saying this to me? Why is he bringing this to my mind? And then I realized, I don't say at least one rosary every day. I remember thinking that at the moment, that if I was going to tell people that, then I had to also be a person that was going to act on that word, not just tell others about it. And that's what the scripture is about today. You know, the scripture is about just that. Oh, they tell everybody what to do, but they preach it, but they don't practice it. And so the Lord is telling us, beware of that. Don't follow their example, but do what they've instructed you to do because they've been put in that place. But do it for the love of God. Don't do it for people looking at you or, you know, don't look at them. As he said, they're phylacteries. They broaden them. That's those hats they wore on their head. They opened them up and made them really big. They had real long fringes. So it was like, hey, look at me. And that's something we want to be careful about. We want to be sure that whatever we teach, whatever we preach, that we do it more by how we live, and that our living is an example of our words, our teachings, our examples, even with our children. And so mainly, I give you that as an illustration because I remember being convicted by the Spirit. I mean, I remember saying my rosary in the evening, late at night, after I got all the kids in bed and so forth and so on. And I remember half the time falling asleep through the rosary. And I remember my mother telling me when I was a little girl, because it bothered me, and I remember her saying to me, well, that's all right, the angels finish it for you. And I let it go at that. And here I was giving this talk this night and telling everybody that they had to at least say one rosary. And that is a real instruction for them. And then afterwards I thought, like I said, during my own examination of conscience, I realized that I was saying to them, look, do as I say, but don't do as I do, because I fall asleep half the time saying my rosary at night with not a lot of thought, obviously. And the Lord convicted me of that. And from that point on, I knew that was to be true in every part of our lives. If people are going to look at us as someone to inspire, someone to listen to, someone to receive instruction, then we have to not only, speak the talk, but we have to live it. And if we're not living it, then we're not giving any glory to God, because that's the reason anybody should teach. That's the reason we practice the things that we do to inspire others. Any good works we do, we have to recognize they're coming from the grace of God working through us and in us, and not of any goodness on our own, but that God has blessed us to be open to think his thoughts, to use his gifts to build up the kingdom. And so again, with that gospel reading, we have to remember what the Lord is really saying. He's saying, line up with your word. Speak the truth, but live it. If you just say these things and put a burden on other people, they still should do what they were instructed to do. But the bottom line is, they shouldn't be doing what we do. And I think for all of us, it's a page out of all of our books. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But when we try to teach and to preach or to be an example to others for any reason, or as parents, to be an example and a teacher, then we have to live it. We can't just tell our kids, this is what you should do, but we don't do it ourselves because we're not bringing any glory to God. They're not seeing Christ in us. So when we live it out, when we not only speak it, but are true to it and live it out in our own lives, we become authentic teachers, authentic leaders, authentic parents, authentic young people that others can see Christ at work in you, in me. So anyway, I got a call on the line. Let me take this. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you?
I am doing great.
And now I'm just got this put on the, I assume this is Jeannie from Missouri, right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I said I am assuming this your name just got put on the board, so I assume this is Jeannie from Missouri, right?
Yes, it is.
I hear you have something you'd like to share from when I was out in Missouri.
Really do. last Saturday, my sister-in-law, Jan Dills, invited me to a retreat in Springfield, Missouri, and it was where Kathleen was speaking on the Holy Spirit. It was excellent. The talk was so informative, and I really took it deep inside. And when it was over, I asked her if she would pray over me regarding some issues that I had. One was an eye that had twitched nonstop for 5 days and nights, and it was just really getting to me. And the other was my right arm and hand and my leg was just doing lots of shaking, so much so that I couldn't even write or hold a pen to write. And after her prayer, my eye immediately quit twitching, and later that evening, my shaking of the hand, arm, and leg also stopped. So, praise God. God is just so close to us, and it was just certainly a yay, God.
Amen. Well, you know what, Jeannie? That's what we need. We need people that see the power of God at work.
Yeah.
And then be able to share it with others, to give them hope.
Well, I've always known that God heals and is able, and it was just such a joy and uplifting moment.
Oh, well, God bless you, Jeannie. Hey,
thank you very much.
Thank you. And I hope to see you again in May.
All right.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, there's a show and tell. Didn't really know exactly how she called in to say she wanted to share a healing, and but she shared it beautifully. She shared it for the glory of God. There again, lines up with that gospel reading for all of us. We're all called, each and every one of us, to use God's gifts, to use our lives as examples for others to come and know and love and serve the Lord. She did a beautiful sharing, didn't she? She really knew that God could heal, she said. She really believed in it. And when I remember praying with her, that's on Saturday night, I remember her saying, I said, do you believe that our God still heals today? She said, yes, I do. And so when we were done praying, I just got a word that all that was going to leave her. And she said everything, because apparently the tremor had been going on for several months. And I said, yes, everything. And so she called into the studio, and when Maureen gave me the note that she wanted to share just how powerfully God worked. And, you know, the Lord works. He is our Father. He is our teacher. Through Jesus and the power in his name, every other thing is below and underneath the power in the name of Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, his power is manifested. oftentimes I hear, well, why, you know, especially this weekend, this was set up about a year ago, and the bishop had asked me about doing a day on the Holy Spirit, and or the weekend on the Holy Spirit. So we did all day Saturday, and I went in on Friday night as well. And the beauty of that testimony, particularly in today, with the scripture readings, is that we are called, every one of us are called to realize that God is our Father. And the power of the Holy Spirit is for each one of us to be able to carry out the charisms that he has given his church. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives empowers us to the fullest, as much as we're open to it, to be able to be authentic witnesses. Authentic witnesses. Matter of fact, I shared a story with them Saturday, and I probably have said it on the air through these last 9.5 years. But one of the things, I was in New York giving a retreat. It was a beautiful day, very hot though. I was sitting under a copse of trees, and a woman came up, and she had bags in her hands and sort of stopped like a rest and looked over at me. And you could hear the music playing from the music ministry inside the church. The windows were open. It was just a beautiful day. And this woman says to me, what's going on in there? I said, oh, it's a day of healing and renewal. And I said, I'm on break right now, just taking a cool drink of water, and I'll be going back in. I said, why don't you come on in and join us? And she sort of chuckled. She said, no, thanks. They're all a bunch of hypocrites in there. And I said, well, there's always room for one more. And when you think about it, we're all hypocrites in one way or another, at one time or another, at one moment of our lives. And I was a hypocrite when I was telling the people that day, 40 years ago, 38 years ago, that, one of the ways to grow in the Spirit was you really have to pray the rosary at least once a day. And here I was. I knew the power in the rosary, so I knew the truth, and it was a great thing I was telling them, because we should be saying the rosary at least once a day. And here, when I examined my own conscience that night, my own words rang out loud and clear to me. Here, I would say my rosary when I was going to bed at night, and half the time I fell asleep saying it, which was fine, but how could I stand up there and tell them you have to at least say the rosary once a day when I wasn't saying it throughout the day, or in the morning or the afternoon or the evening before I went to bed? It would have been nice to say a second rosary. If I fell asleep through that, then indeed I do believe the angels finish it for us, because our heart is intent. Our heart is in, wanting to give glory to God. Anytime we do a good act, all of our deeds, they should be for the glory of God. We are disciples of the Lord. And a disciple means a student, one that listens and then acts upon God's word. That's what a disciple is. Somebody that listens to God's word and then acts upon it. And oftentimes we have to be open and realize that, in this scripture, Jesus wanted to warn his own disciples. He said it with them there as well. He wanted to, warn his own disciples. But he also was given a harsh message as well to the leaders about the temptation to seek honor or to draw attention to themselves. What we should be doing is seeking to bring attention to God, seeking to make others realize or help them to understand and realize the power in God's Word. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can go out and grow day by day, minute by minute, into all that God calls us to be when we have that gift of humility, when we try to humble ourselves for the Lord, not seeking places of honor for ourselves or not looking for that front row seat. And all of us, you know, it's natural. It's a great thing. It feels good. And it's a very nice thing to want to be told that, that you did a good job at work, that your kids come to you and say, you know, Mommy or Dad, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the sacrifices that you have made for all these years for us. A priest, after being a pastor or a priest in a parish, and, you know, maybe he's feeling, is anybody out there really paying attention? And what a great thing it is for somebody to go up to the priest and say, Father, your homily really impacted me today. Your words touched my heart deeply. And so when he wakes up in the morning, if he is looking to give a homily on the gospel, his desire is to give it for the honor and glory of God. His decision to preach whatever message he felt led to preach is so that he can open minds and hearts and understanding to God's word. And so he, the priest, prays for the outpouring of the Spirit to be upon him, the unction of the Holy Spirit, that it's not his words, but God using him as an instrument and the Spirit of the living God flowing through him and giving anointing and power to the words that the priests speak, not for his glory, not for everybody to say, what a great teacher you are. What an inspiring homilist you are. You're the greatest. You're one of the best I heard. If he's doing it for that reason, it's the wrong reason. If you and I are putting it out there for other people about how great we are, then it's not to, you know, it's not bringing glory to God. It's bringing glory to ourselves. And so we have to humble ourselves before God. We have to remember that we're the disciples and he's God and we're not. And that's why Jesus, you know, he wanted to warn both his own disciples and the religious leaders at the time. What is the core reason we're doing this? Is it to bring attention to ourselves, or is it bringing, you know, attention to God, making God more visible, making God more present, bringing the face of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God to other people? And yeah, people are going to say nice things. And when I'm attracted to somebody, and let's say I think they're a great homilist, I can go up, or you can go up and say, Father, you know, your homily touched my heart. You're a great preacher. You're a great teacher. It's fine for us to say it. But if the preacher thinks that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, that's a different story. Then he's doing it for himself and not for the glory of God. Or parents that go around saying, you know, I have the greatest children in the world. They're wonderful. They're this and they're that. Maybe it's better if other people tell you that your children are beautiful and respectful and they see Christ in them. These are just some of the ways that we don't even realize that we're bringing attention to ourselves rather to the glory of God. We're going to take a little break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. Spoken a little about the scripture today, where we're called to humble ourselves, and that's not always easy. Every one of us like to be acknowledged. Every one of us like to be commended when we do a good job. That's purely fine. It's good. It's natural. But it isn't. We're not called to put heavy burdens on people. We're not called to put ourselves before others, if you will. You know, when we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, this inclines each one of us to the gift of humility, to simplicity, to be humble of heart, maybe to seek the good of others instead of ourselves, the good of ourselves. You know, what, maybe just to remember that true humility is something that we all need to embrace. It's really essential for us to be able to be true, authentic witnesses for the gospel. You know, humility isn't something demeaning or putting oneself down, meaning that we shouldn't feel good about ourselves or we should feel bad about ourselves, have a low opinion of ourselves, or think of ourselves as really being, you know, inferior to others. That's not what humility is. Humility is a gift in itself. It's a virtue. It frees us from being so caught up in ourself, being preoccupied with our wants, our needs, our desires, being preoccupied of how good are we at this and how good are we at that, and do others realize that I'm really, do others realize that that I am worthy of attention? No, true humility is just what I said. It's not about low opinion of ourselves or thinking less of ourselves. Humility is truth. It's understanding ourselves. Even one of the great bishops said, a gift of humility is to know our true self. And when we do, when we know our true selves, then we really have to acknowledge we all fall short of the glory of God. And it is Him in us that's healing hearts, minds, spirits. It's Him in us that is showing others the way. It's Him in us that brings light into the darkest of situations, that brings peace in the midst of turmoil. It's that is what humility is. It's understanding ourselves to know that it's God in us. It's His action, not ours. It's His reaching out and changing lives, bringing peace, bringing grace, bringing strength, bringing knowledge and wisdom into situations when somebody's really seeking it. And not looking to it as, boy, that was a great idea I had. Wow, I'm really a smart cookie. No, it's recognizing. True humility is truth about ourselves. It's recognizing that, praise God, I try to be open and I recognize that this is God moving in me and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's taking a good look into our own hearts and our own souls, particularly at this time in this journey of Lent. Looking deep within our own hearts, reflecting on ourselves honestly, soberly, if you will, and seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And that can be painful, and oftentimes, particularly in the Lenten season, surgery is painful. And spiritual surgery is painful, but it's so fruitful. And when we open our hearts and really take a good look inside of ourselves, why? So that we can grow and help be open and be aware and give attention on those areas in our own lives that need a little fine-tuning, if you will. And when we do, we begin to see God more clearly. We begin to be able to follow Him more easily. And we begin to be His presence out there in the world that is in desperate need of truth, of His truth, His power, His love. And when we try to humble ourselves by making a real, a true assessment of our own souls, our own hearts, to the best of our ability, without any pretense to be something that we're not. And we know that we're all called to be servants of God, not to be God, but to be servants of God. You don't look at ourselves as being less than somebody else ever, or being more than anyone else ever. It really, true humility really frees us to really be ourselves before God. And, not to fall into pride or despair, thinking that we're not good. God made us good. That's who He is. He created us and He said it was good. So we don't want to put on a facade in order to look good to others. What we want to do is be able to humble ourselves before the Lord so that He can use us, even in extraordinary ways, even to have others stand up and take notice, not of us, but of God at work in us for His honor and for his glory. You know, that when you know the Lord and you try to humble yourselves, and we all fall short of it. We're all filled with pride at one time or another. That's why we have to look inside ourselves. But when we are able to do that and we consistently do it, and what a better time to do it throughout this journey we call Lent, traveling along the Lenten journey with the Lord, we're not swayed then by our fame or reputation or success, and we're not put down or put out by our failures either, because we take them all as this is part of our journey. We're learning, we're growing, and we want to grow in Christ-like humility, and we want to be, we want to be simplistic of mind and heart and spirit. We want to be those, Jesus said he emptied himself out. We want to be able to empty ourselves out. And Jesus said he emptied himself out to take the form of a slave. And he became obedient, even unto death, even death on a cross. So if we want to be servants of Jesus, then we need to serve. We need to have an open mind and heart and a spirit and saying, I will go out, Lord. I will be your hands and your feet and your voice. I want to be able, Lord, to serve you and to serve others in your name. That's humility. That means you know without a doubt it's not your power at work in you. It's not your wisdom and your knowledge. It's not your healing power. It's God's love. It's not our pride. It's not our false humility. It's, somebody says, oh, that was a great talk. Oh, that was, you were an actor and someone said, that was a great performance. I say, well, you know, I've been blessed. God is, you know, that is God's work at work in me. Or thank you and praise God. That's a true humble spirit. Making a realistic assessment of ourselves without pretense. And then realize that all that we have comes from above. And he wants us. He wants us to use all that he has given us. But he wants us to do it for his honor, for his glory. He wants us to be servants of others, to seek the good of others, to put their interests first, and to remember it's his care and his love and his mercy and his concern for them, not ours. And it's grace and grace alone that we are open to use those gifts for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, for the benefit of the mystical body. So if Jesus can become a servant for our sakes, then, Lord, we ask that you teach us to be humble as you are humble, and to love others with a selfless love and service, that you came to show us the way. And the only way we can do that is recognizing to open ourselves up, to allow ourselves to be used by you, to be your hands and your feet and your voice in the world that is desperately in need of your presence. And when we are open to that, then your presence will be manifested through us. Why? For your honor and glory. And so that's what it's all about. I had received some letters, so I'm going to share from in the silence of my heart today. I was asked, why did I stop? And so I will read some today. Just opened up blindly, and this is the reading I opened up to today. It says, rejoice over your family coming together. whether you have one family member or whether you are without your immediate family, you still have members of the body of Christ that are family. You see, it all starts with an invitation. It's very simple, and so often it is made complicated. You think to go out, to be sent out into the world, you need to be filled with the wisdom of this world or the knowledge of this world. And so you feel inadequate. But you see, I send you out just to give an invitation. The invitation that I gave to each one of you. To know me and love me and serve me. To be baptized into me. To no longer be a creature, but my own child. And so I say to each of you now, if you're willing to extend an invitation, there are so many in waiting to hear, but have not heard. There are many more waiting to be welcomed back to the church, but they have not received that extension of a hand, of an encouraging word, of an invitation to come and to listen about how God touched your life, about how I moved in your life, how you now love in my name, how you now reach out to help others who are hurting because I reached out to you when you were hurting. When you call my name and drew close to me, close to my own heart, before you even call my name, I was there. And with the healing rays of my own sacred heart, I healed your wounds, the wounds of loneliness, the wounds of inadequacies, the wounds of self-doubt, the wounds of despair, the wounds of pride, the wounds of the wounds of rejection and the words of, I don't know why my eyes are really blurry. The words of rejection. So look and see all those who are on the outside looking in. I do not want you to judge, lest you yourself be judged. But I want you to be willing to look at your brothers and sisters who are in need of an invitation to come more fully into the living water. The living water that will wash away all the debris. The living water that will well up deep within you, dispelling your anxieties and your fears and your doubts. I have gifted you in many different ways. And I have gifted all. And I ask you this night to see, to look, who can you extend an invitation to? Invite them to sit and talk. Invite them over a cup of coffee, a drink. Invite them over your house. More importantly, why don't you invite them to my house? Look to see who you can give a word of encouragement to. Who can you sit and cry with, laugh with, mourn with? Do not be afraid. Do not think that you need something more than I give you. I will give you the right words at the right time. I assure you, do not disturb your own peace by wondering and trying to think what you should say. All I want is for you to heed my word and trust that I will give you the right words at the right time. All I want you to do is to be willing to extend an invitation for those who are on the outside, as I said, looking in. For those who are bitter, for those who are so angry, for those who have been wounded, yes, wounded in the church, wounded or abused in families, wounded by friends, rejected by those they loved, betrayed by a kiss, perhaps. It is these who need to experience the living God, not mere man. And so I ask you to invite, to welcome, to reach out. Think for a moment. Who could you write a note to? Who could you pick up the phone and call? Think again for another moment. Is there someone you could visit that is feeling lonely or has no one else to visit them? There are so many ways that you can invite someone into a personal relationship with me by sharing your own personal relationship with me. Step out in faith. Don't trust in you, but rely on me within you. I'll do it all. I'll do the rest. Just give me your yes. There is so much noise in the world that you avail yourselves to. Will you listen to me in the silent moments of your own heart? I myself will reveal to you all those who are in your life that you could bring my healing love to, that you could bring the healing word to, that you could bring the healing balm from Gilead. Oh, how I long to heal my people. Oh, how I long to fill their hearts with joy. I long to see the recognition in their eyes and in their face when they realize that they are loved. Loved so much that I myself came to lay down my life that they might have life. My heart rejoices when they realize how much I love them. So will you go? Will you go and extend an invitation of love, of mercy, of peace, of grace? How about forgiveness? Will you forgive those who have hurt you, rejected you, alienated you, failed to appreciate you? Will you bring my forgiveness there too as well? You see, as you reach out with these invitations, you will receive the very gift you give back in fullness and multiplication. I ask you to be still and listen. I will speak deep in the silence of your heart. I will give you wisdom and knowledge and discernment. I will give you understanding. I will renew your zest for life and give you back the joy of your salvation if you have lost it or if others have. I will empower you to bring this invitation to others. I will give you my word for those who need to hear and experience my love for everyone I send you to. So put aside a quiet time that I might steal you away, that I might hold you close to my own sacred heart, to refresh you, to renew you, healing you and loving you into wholeness. Do you think I am not aware of the ways that you have been hurt, have not been appreciated, have been taken for granted? Oh, I know all. I see all. So I say to you, come away with me to a quiet place and allow me to heal your heart, wash away your tears, and renew your strength so that you can continue to be my hands, my feet, my voice. I ask you to go in my name with the anointing and empowerment of my Spirit within you. You cannot do it without the power of my Holy Spirit. So go and make disciples for my honor and my glory. Well, we've come to the end of the hour. And so as we close, as we always do, we remember that during this time of Lent, that what the Lord really calls us each to is to be the best that we can be and trust the rest to Him, that He will mold us and transform us into all that He calls us to be by the power of His Holy Spirit at work in us, that we might take His hand as He leads us on this journey called life. If you're away from the church, come on home. We are not complete without you. And you are missed. This is an urgent time in the church. Now's the time to come home. It will be your sanctuary. So come. And my brothers and sisters, until we meet again, may you always remember and never forget that He is with us always at every moment of every day. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. May God bless you until we meet again, God willing, tomorrow.